Today's title is Praying with Fire. Praying with Fire. Do you believe that we can do that? Anybody up for it?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't say smoulder with prayer. I said pray with fire. There is a little bit of a play on words here, of course, because we use the phrase playing with fire, don't we? And if you change one letter, it becomes praying with fire. So I had thought this through. But the reality is today is Pentecost, yeah? Today is Pentecost. And in this series, we've been talking about prayer. We've been trying to influence the culture of this church, that we might become a house of prayer. We've talked about why we should pray, how we should pray. We briefly talked about fasting. We've talked about praying together corporately, the power that's involved in that. We've talked about the ministry of being individual watchmen and also of corporately being a house of prayer. And as it's the day of Pentecost today, I felt it important that we should address the issue of praying with fire. So, my first point today is filled. Filled. The day the church took off was the day it was empowered by God's Spirit. And I think it's important that we remember we owe so much to Jesus, because what he said, he could not send the Spirit until he had ascended. And we think sometimes, I think this way, that we sort of feel wronged that we don't get to see Jesus walking around the streets of Israel. Maybe we these days we'd be able to jumbo jet him to England, and we don't sing that silly song about England's green and pleasant land and his feet walked here and all that load of rubbish. And we aren't Mormons. We don't believe he went to America either. So, you know, we recognize that actually the real breakthrough is when the Spirit of God could be everywhere. And, you know, Jesus sent his Spirit that we might all have a bit of God in us. A bit of God in us. And you know something? You don't need a lot to influence this world. You just need a bit of God. It's like having a mustard seed of faith. You don't need a lot of faith. You only need that tiny little bit. In fact, it's a lot smaller than that. It's probably about that. You know, you only need that much faith to turn the world upside down. And you only need a little bit of God to change this world. And, you know, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't just get that little bit. We get an infilling. We get filled up. And if your capacity grows, the Holy Spirit will keep filling you. And when you feel that you need a top-up, the Holy Spirit will fill you again. And the truth is, the Holy Spirit will fill you all the time if you want to be filled. And I want to say to you this morning, it's really important that we recognize Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit fell. And we read earlier in Acts chapter 2 that when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound like of a violent rushing wind that came from heaven. It lifted the whole house where they were staying, and tongues like flames of fire that were divided appeared to them and rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them ability for speech. Why tongues? You know something? I used to battle with this when I was a young man. Why tongues? And why do we have to call it tongues? Our Bible doesn't even call it tongues very often these days. Most translations call it languages. And that's what it means. It means that they began to speak in other languages. But, you know, the Bible tells us that our tongue is our most unruly part of us. It's the bit that's hard to keep rein on. And you know that, don't you? Because sometimes you say things you wish you hadn't afterwards. Because it's hard for us to keep it. James talks about like putting a bit on it. We put a bit and a bridle on a horse and we ride the horse, but we're not very good at getting a bit in our own mouths and steering the way that our tongue goes. And the Bible continues to talk about the tongue being such a powerhouse. And, you know, I want to say this morning that speaking in tongues is a sign that the Holy Spirit has come in your life, because it shows that you have submitted the most unruly part of yourself to God. And I want to say to you that when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, it was not because I'd had loads of teaching or that I'd memorized the book of Acts, or the second chapter of the book of Acts, both of which were absolutely true. But I was filled with the Holy Spirit when all of a sudden I was praying and God showed me words that I knew in my head and I hadn't realized were there. It says, and they began to speak in new tongues, new languages, as the Holy Spirit enabled them. I always thought that the Holy Spirit went zap and you suddenly lost the ability to speak English. And you just went blah, 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 blah. I just thought it was like that. But when I realized that they began, I realized I too would have to begin. When I realized I had to begin speaking in tongues and that the Holy Spirit was just there to enable me, that was when the breakthrough took place in my life. It became just as natural for me as it is natural for a chicken to lay an egg. And of course, when I say it's just as natural for me to speak in tongues or for you to speak in tongues, of course, what I should be saying is it's just as supernatural for you to speak in tongues as it is natural for a chicken to lay eggs. And you know, we shouldn't get all worked up about that which is supernatural, because we are supernatural beings. Nigel, you are a supernatural being. So are you, Nigel. In fact, all the Nigels in this room are supernatural beings. You know something? God has put in you something from him, which is his Spirit, and we need to submit to his Spirit. And as we submit, we have the ability to speak in tongues. Don't be saying to me, why do I have to do that? You don't have to do anything you don't want. But why does God seem to put this pattern in the scriptures? It's because you are submitting the part of yourself which is the most unruly to God. And I would suggest to you that is a very powerful action. You are saying to God, God, I'm even submitting my tongue to you right now. So, be filled. Can I say to you, when you come to pray, just pray, God, would you fill me again? You know, you don't have to wait for a preacher to come from Aberystwyth or America. You don't have to wait for a preacher to come from London. Just pray, God, would you fill me again with your Spirit? And when you do, enjoy speaking in tongues. That first time I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I am not exaggerating when I say it took me 2 weeks to really feel I could confidently go out in public without speaking in tongues. Because all the time I just kept wanting to burst out in tongues. And it's quite embarrassing in a university reading physics when all of a sudden you just keep wanting to burst out in tongues when the professor is giving you a lecture. And it's difficult when you're on in your hall of residence and you're on the corridor and you're in the kitchen and you're boiling the kettle and you're just waiting for someone to burst in on you whilst you're speaking in tongues. And it's very, very difficult. And of course, when you go into your room and you speak in tongues loudly because you realise that you're alone at last, you forget that the walls are thin. Yeah. But, you know, I'm glad I never quite learn to totally stop it. Because I am so glad that I do speak in tongues. I speak in tongues down the streets of York. When I'm walking from the bus to this building, I speak in tongues. When I get in this building, I speak in tongues. Sometimes when I answer the phone, I speak in tongues. And if that happens to you, my apologies, but it's okay. You'll understand, and God understands. But the reality is that we need to be filled. And by being filled means submitting yourself to the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, in the section we had read to us today, verse 16, it said, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then, in your Bible, probably, there is a new carriage return. And it starts a new line and says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Now, let me tell you something about the Greek New Testament. There is no carriage return at that point in the Greek. In fact, it carries on, and we ought to read it this way. We ought to say, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And when you think about it, it makes more sense that way, because our prayer is not just something that we do afterwards, after we've stood in our armour. It's something we do while we're wearing our armour. The reality is our prayer, our spiritual warfare in which we engage with the enemy, giving him a bloody nose and reminding Jesus that he has won and praising him and worship him, you know, that act is part of what we have our armour on for. And I want to encourage you today, don't just wield the word of God. Don't just wear the helmet of salvation. Don't just have your shield up, but pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Now you then say to me, but what does praying in the Spirit mean? Well, I'll tell you what praying in the Spirit means. It means praying in tongues. Now you could say, well, I think this, I think that. Realistically, all I can say is I've looked at the original Greek in every occasion that praying in the Spirit is mentioned in the New Testament. And it appears to mean praying in tongues. You know, when we pray in tongues, we're praying in the Spirit. We're praying with the Spirit. And again, some translations will offer this as praying with the Spirit. That's not an inferior translation. It just means the same thing. It means that we are doing this in tandem, that we are in agreement with the Holy Spirit. When we're praying in the Holy Spirit, we're praying in the Holy Spirit's will. And that's the same thing. It's in a spirit of agreement. And you know something? When we pray in the Spirit, we don't know what we're on about half the time, which is incredibly powerful and strong, because it allows God to pray through us for situations that we're not aware of. I remember this story of this preacher who was out on his yacht. Yeah, he was American. But and he was in a terrible, he was alone, and he was in a terrible storm, when he got back home, only just, someone in his church said to him, are you all right, Pastor? Were you okay while you were away? And so he said, yes. And she said to him, but Pastor, I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning praying in tongues for you. And she said, I just felt I was praying for you. I don't know what I was saying, but I felt I was praying for you. And he said, oh, well, thank you very much, went away. And thought about it and realized that that was the same 2 a.m. He was up pulling down his sails, trying to keep the yachts upright and fighting for his life. At one point, he fell off the deck and held on to that bit that goes around the edge of the deck with one hand. And that saved him, and he managed to get back on. But you see, at that very moment in time, one woman in Florida was praying for him in tongues, and who knows who else was praying for him, and that saved his life. And I want to encourage you, you never know what you are doing when you're praying in tongues. When you pray in tongues, you are sending out power from the Holy Spirit. You know, the word for power that's often used for the Holy Spirit, being full of power, is dunamis, which is a Greek word from which we get our word dynamite. And please don't say it means dynamite, because it doesn't mean dynamite, but I'm conveying that image to you so that you will understand that this power is explosive. This power is enormous. Just one little prayer can open up something. Remember that dynamite was originally used in mining, and it was used to open up new seams, to bring down the ceiling and make a big space where you could go in and you could get your pickaxe and shovel and you could mine. And, you know, the Holy Spirit is full of power. And our prayers in the Holy Spirit are full of power. When you are praying in the Spirit, you are pulling down strongholds. You are immensely expressing the power of God into our life situations when we can experience the power of God. Does anybody in this room need that? I do. I do. I need that. And I want to encourage you, pray in the Spirit. You know, you don't have to do it in front of other people if you're worried about it. Just do it at home. I'm not really that bothered. But what I am saying is, pray in the Spirit. You have no idea what a bad day you're giving the devil. You know, I can hear him now whining to one of his demons saying, "Oh no! Oh, it's that woman in Foxwood again! Oh no, she's praying in the Spirit! That Mary Tarbin, I wish she'd shut up!" And the devil gets really worked up when we pray in the Spirit. Because we are affecting his kingdom. We're tearing it down. We're tearing down the kingdom of the devil. We're lifting up the kingdom of our Jesus. Paul says this, "I thank God that I speak in other languages more than any of you." If you want an example for why we should speak in tongues because Paul did it. And Paul did it more than anybody. And he also goes on to say, "If I pray in another language, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What then? I will pray with the Spirit. And I will also pray with understanding." I'm going to do both, he's saying. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with my understanding. Now, there's another one for you. Have you tried singing in the Spirit? Now, some people say to me, "Well, I'm just waiting for God to do that in my life." Well, you'll be waiting an enormous length of time. Because God doesn't just do that to people. You know, God will never force himself on you. You have to be willing. And you know what? I often just put on some music, just instrumental music. And I begin to sing along with it in tongues. And sometimes I don't bother putting the music on. I just do it without. And you know what? I'm sure it sounds a cacophony. It sounds a weird thing. But I do this because I sing with the Spirit and I sing with understanding. And I switch between them. And you can pray with the Spirit, you can pray with understanding, just in the same way. In weakness. Did you notice me? I turned up and looked at the screen. I forgot we've got that up there. In weakness. You'll see there a rope on the screen which is frayed and there's just held together by one thread. Anybody have a sense that that's them at the moment? You know, sometimes you feel that way, don't you? Yeah, it's just the way life is. Sometimes we get down to the last thread. But in Romans 8, verse 26, it says this: "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness." The Spirit helps you when you're looking like that on the screen. When you're down to your last thread, the Holy Spirit helps you. Paul goes on to say, "We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through..." Listen, through wordless groans. Wordless groans. That's what you sound like when you're praying in the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit prays through that. And do you know what? The Holy Spirit always knows the will of God. So the Holy Spirit is praying the will of God into your situation, into your life, into whatever you're praying for, whether you know it or not. The Holy Spirit is making up for your weakness. Because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You know, it's so wonderful that the Spirit engages with us as we pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit makes up for our lack. You might say, "Well, I don't like praying aloud, Stephen, because I'm not very good with words. You're good with words. I'm not very good with words." And, you know, I always want to just take hold of people and give them a loving slap across the face for that. Because, you know, I'm the same. You might say you're good with words, Stephen. Well, I'm only good with words because I've practiced. You know, reality is just pray. And pray in tongues because I'll guarantee you, you're good at that. You're better than I am at praying in your tongue. Because I don't know the language you speak. But pray. You know, God is with you and he will make up for your lack. He will make up for your weakness. And the Bible also says in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. Now you've heard me talk about this edification business before. It's a brick building term, a Greek brick building term. It means putting one brick on top of another. It means building you up. And it's a house building term. And you know something? When you speak in tongues, mysteriously, you build yourself up. And the reality is Bishop David Carr said to me last year, he'd had an audience with the Pope, and the Pope, not wishing to embarrass himself in front of hordes of Catholics, and the various people that await on him, he leant over to David Carr and whispered in his ear, "David, I pray in tongues for 15 minutes every day." And you know something? It's good enough for the Pope, it's good enough for me. And I want to encourage you, praying in tongues will build you up. It will overcome weakness in your body, in your life. You might say, "But I'm just a weak Christian, Pastor. Oh, Pastor, I'm so weak." Well, pray in tongues then. That's what the Bible says. Pray in tongues. Don't come to me telling me you're weak. Pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit himself will strengthen you. It's what the Bible says, my friends. We can't argue with this. The Bible tells us this. The Holy Spirit will strengthen you. If you need strength, speak in tongues. Have I made that point? Fourth point, focused prayer. I was very careful not to put a slide up that showed someone focusing the sun's rays through a magnifying glass onto an ant. I was tempted, but I thought someone will shout out, "That's cruel, Stephen." But that's just burning hole in paper. But I remember as a kid doing that. Did anyone else do that? I used to burn ants. Terrible, isn't it? You never knew. You look at me and you think butter wouldn't melt in my mouth. But actually, I'm such a sinner, I used to burn ants. Why have I put this on the screen? Because how does a magnifying glass work? How does it make paper burn on a sunny day? It does it by focusing the intensity of the sun's rays in one small spot, and it raises the temperature of that spot until it bursts into flame. If you've ever done it on the back of your hand, you'll know it hurts. It is intense heat very, very quickly. So determine times when you will pray at home, here, but pray until you batter down the walls of hell. Because I want you to know, Jesus promised, "I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." And you know what? The intensity of your prayer makes a difference. When talking about prayer, it says Jesus, when wanting his disciples to understand that you should always pray and not give up, taught them the story of the importunate widow. Importunate's an old word. Where did that come from? That must have been my old King James memory going, for which I apologize. But you know something? It means a woman, or it means a person who doesn't give up. Someone who keeps knocking, keeps asking, keeps seeking. And Jesus told us to pray like that. He told us to pray asking, seeking, knocking in the present continual tense. So knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. Ask and keep on asking. That's what the Greek says. And I want to encourage you, if Jesus says he will build his church, he'll build this church, I don't have to bother building this church because Jesus will. And you just need to stand with me believing that and doing what Jesus talks to us about doing so that we can reach the lost and let him build the church. Pray for those you love who aren't walking with Jesus yet. Pray for them intensely. Pray for them every day. Pray for those who've drifted away. Pray for them intensely. Focus your prayers. Don't give up praying. And I know I use some of the same anecdotes a lot, but, you know, Libby recently said to me, "Dad, I went to this meeting and I met Ken Sager." And I knew exactly what she meant, because she'd never met him before in her life. Not that she'd known. But I told her about in 1978, when Ken Sager came out for prayer for about the third week on the trot, and the pastor stood up and said, some of you are saying, "Why is Ken out for prayer again? He's always coming out for prayer. I want you to know I've told Ken, you keep asking until you receive." And I've told Ken, if you have to keep coming out for years, you keep coming out, which isn't very encouraging for pastors to say to you, is it? But I said, he said to him, if you have to keep coming out for years, you keep coming out. And I was there 2 years later when he came out for prayer and he was instantly healed. He took off his stainless steel corset. Imagine putting that on every day that he wore to straighten his back, because he had a crippling, a decaying back situation. And he was absolutely healed that day. And Libby said to me, I think it was the Vine Church, when she went there a couple of weeks ago, she said to me, she'd seen him, and she said, "Dad, he's still got a good back." And you know, that's 1980 was when he was healed. 1980, that's a long time away. And he's still healed. And it doesn't mean he's not faced other issues, but he kept asking, he kept seeking, he kept knocking, and thank God he did, because he received. And I want to encourage you, focus your prayer. Keep on asking. Keep on crying out to God. Keep on shouting to God. Keep on asking God. You know something? God loves you. God wants to bless you. Keep on asking. Don't give up. Pray for revival in our city. Don't give up. Pray for growth in the church. Don't give up. Pray that Christ will build this church. Don't give up. Pray for those doing Alpha every Tuesday. Don't give up. Pray for those coming on the course, that they will be fully translated into the kingdom of light, that they will want to be part of the Sunday congregation. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for your pastor. He needs your prayers. Pray for his family. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your family. I don't know who he is, but pray for him. It's really important that we pray. You know, today, I just want to impress this one thing upon you. Your prayer makes a difference. Don't give me any of this rubbish about it's only me. I am sure your prayers are more effective than mine. That is rubbish. Your prayers are what are necessary. God is calling you to pray. Don't tell me that there are people better qualified to pray than you, when it is you that God is calling to pray. There are not people in the church who are the prayers, and people that are not prayers. We are all prayers. Prayer is talking to God. It's being in conversation with God. And you only get a relationship through conversation. You know, my wife and I, we've been married 33 years. And there have been some difficult conversations in that 33 years. Most of them have been wonderful conversations. But you know what? Unless we talk, there would be no relationship. There would be no 33 years unless we talked. And that is what God is calling you to do. He's saying, will you get in conversation with me? Will you? Will you focus your prayer? Will you pray? I'll make up your weakness. Will you pray? I will empower you. I will give you tongues to speak in. You can pray with understanding. You can pray in other languages, praying with the Spirit. Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Today's the day of Pentecost. If we aren't celebrating this today by rejoicing together in the Holy Spirit, then what are we doing? I want you today to join with me and pray. Would you do that? You know, today we need to pray. We normally have a big celebration in the Minster, but tonight the mystery plays are on in the Minster, so we can't go. But you know, that's why we're doing next week, actually, with Saturday with Centermove, because we couldn't get in Sunday for Pentecost. But I want you to know this, that we don't have to all be in the Minster. We can be here, you can be at home. Sometimes you need to just go and shut yourself away from the world and say, Holy Spirit, fill me again. Sometimes you need to express yourself to God where the walls are a bit thicker and you can confidently talk to God in a way in which no one else can hear, and you can express your heart to God. Not like the guy who I said about on Alpha, who was sleeping at his grandma and granddad's for the weekend, And he was in the bedroom next to his grandma and granddad, and he shouted in a loud voice as he was saying his prayers, "Oh Lord, bless grandma and granddad, bless mummy and daddy, and Lord, will you send me a big box of chocolates, please?" And then said amen, because he knew his granddad could hear through the wall. You know, we're not dropping hints to God. We're not. We're engaging in conversation, in dialogue with God Most High, who has all power and all authority and delegates that to us, that we might go into this world preaching the good news, discipling believers, baptizing them in the name of the Lord. And when we do all of these things, we do these things because God himself is enabling us by his Holy Spirit. Would you all stand with me? Lord Jesus, as we stand before you today, we are all gathered in one place. Lord, we seem to fulfill the scriptural criterion for being filled with your Holy Spirit. And we ask you right now, would you send a mighty wind from heaven? A mighty wind, a mighty breath, a mighty spirit. It's the same word in Greek, wind, breath, spirit. As that wind blows, as that spirit comes, as the breath of God comes and hovers over each and every one of us, would you now fill us again? Holy Spirit, come, come in power. Fill us, thrill us, empower us in prayer. Help us to pray for those who are not walking with Jesus yet, for those who we're related to, those who we love, those who matter a lot to us, who are not walking with you, who maybe drifted away. We pray for revival in our city. We pray for growth in this church. We pray for those doing Alpha. Lord, we pray all of these things to you now, and we just say, Holy Spirit, will you come? Light a spark in this room for your church right now. In Jesus' name. Let's just keep stood.